This morning we're going to continue in our series that we've pretty much have been running with all of the beginning of 2022. We're really impressing the Lord and asking, you know, God, what would you have us look at? And what would be a significant sort of target for us in the beginning of this year? And really felt like he highlighted to explore the life of Daniel. And so we've been looking, sort of just going methodically through the first few chapters of Daniel, and seeing what we can learn. What can we glean from the book of Daniel, from the life of Daniel, that has implications for our current life and situation and circumstances that we find ourselves in? And so last week we shared the beginning part of chapter 2, and just to recap, and if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Daniel chapter 2. We're going to finish that chapter today. And so, but the beginning was that King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was having a series of really bad dreams. And he had one particular dream that he was extremely disturbed about. And he wanted the wise men within the land to not just tell him what his dream meant, but he wanted them to tell him what he dreamt. And they said, "You're crazy. There's no person on earth who could tell you what you dreamt. But if you tell us what you dreamt, we'll tell you what it means." And he said, "No, if you can't tell me what I dreamt and then tell me what it means, I'm going to destroy you physically and I'm going to ruin your homes and all that kind of stuff." Daniel and his three friends were also considered in the company of those wise men. He wasn't in the room when the decree was made, but he got a knock on his door basically saying that, "I'm here to kill you because of this." And he's like, "Wait, why? What's going on, right? That you want to kill me. Why is the king so angry?" And the messenger sort of explains what's going on. And Daniel, he doesn't just cower. He walks straight into the king and talks to the king about it. And he says to the king, "If you give me a little bit of time, I will be able to tell you what you dreamt and what it means." And the king says, "Okay." So Daniel goes with his friends, the three friends he asks to pray and to intercede on behalf of God sending the wisdom and revelation. And Daniel seeks the Lord. And in the midst of seeking the Lord, God gives him the revelation of what Nebuchadnezzar dreamt and also the interpretation of it. And that's where we ended last week. This week, we're going to pick up in, I'll say this too, that the thing that we sort of gleaned out of that first part of Daniel chapter 2 was that Daniel glorified God in both his initial and his total response to the overwhelming circumstance that he was faced. So when he got the knock on the door, and as he processed the information of this new circumstance, right, he wasn't expecting it. It wasn't like it was on his calendar. This is the day you're going to get the knock on the door that says you're going to die, right? He didn't know about it. It was that thing right around the next corner that you don't know. How does you handle it? And we saw that as Daniel sort of walked through it, at every step of the way, he glorified God in the process. And the question that we asked us, as far as applying it, was, does your first response and your overall response to overwhelming circumstances glorify God, like Daniel's? And do you want to grow in that in 2022? Right? So as you process that for yourself, nobody can answer that question but you, for you. You know how you respond to overwhelming things that happen, right? And it's not always the same, but the reality is we typically have patterns as we go through life. What's our first response? What do we do next? Who do we call, right? What do we do? And then how you do that. And I think that the challenge is our goal isn't perfection, right? It's, are you making progress? And so that's something that we're going to continue working on, but you have to decide if that's something that you actually want to grow in, right? No one's going to force it on you. Okay, so that's what we looked at last week. We're going to pick it up this week in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 2. It says, "Then Daniel went to Arioch," that was the messenger, "whom the king had appointed to execute the wise man of Babylon. And he said to him, 'Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him.' Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, 'I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means.'" So Daniel, he got the revelation from God in the night. He goes back to the executioner and says, "I got it. Take me to the king," right? And what I see in that piece, just that, is that Daniel's faith, right? We said last week that he needed to have faith that what he saw in the vision from God was actually true. In order to act on it, He had to believe it was truly the word of God, that the dream that God revealed and the interpretation was accurate, right? And the reality is that faith often takes action. And that also, like what John Wimber used to say, is that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? It involves risk. That most often, whenever you're supposed to step out in faith, there's going to be a risk because you don't know how the people are going to respond or what actually is going to happen. And we see that with Daniel. And so Arioch takes Daniel to the king, and he says, I've found the man. There's somebody who can tell you what you dreamt and what it means. In verse 26, he goes on and it says, the king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he has spoken about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. So Daniel's straightforward. He's like, there is not a person on the face of the earth who can do what you're asking them to do. In that, I'm no different than any of the other wise men or enchanters or magicians, right? Everybody who is on our team who is supposed to be dying because they can't do what you're asking to do. I can't do it either. But there is a God. And I know that God. I have relationship with that God. And he can do what you're asking. He's the God who reveals mysteries. Nothing's impossible with my God. In verse 28, it keeps going. It says, he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things that to come, and to the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Right? So Daniel simply says, you had a foretelling dream. This dream that you had is God's revealing to you what's going to happen in the years to come. And that God didn't reveal the mystery to Daniel for Daniel's sake. He revealed it for King Nebuchadnezzar. There's something about the information within this dream. It's actually for the king. God wanted him to know this, or he wouldn't have dreamt it. Does that make sense? Right? Verse 31, it says, your majesty looked, and there before you, so this is the dream. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Right? So Daniel says, here's the dream. And what I notice with Daniel is he has faith that the revelation that God gave him was accurate. He doesn't come cower. He's like, was that the dream? Is that the right one? Is that it? King Nebuchadnezzar, did I get it right? Like, there's none of that. It's like, that was the dream. Right? There's a confidence. He's not timid in his interacting with the king. He has complete faith that the revelation that he saw in the vision was accurate and true as he tells it to the king. Then it goes on in verse 36 and it says, and now we will interpret it to the king. Who's the we? I have no idea. Why does he say we? It doesn't say now I will interpret it to the king. It says now we will interpret it to the king. I don't know who the we is. He says, your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. And after you, another kingdom will arise inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and the toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it. even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the times of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. Right? So again, Daniel just shares the interpretation of the dream. He shares it with confidence, right? There's no hesitation in his sharing of it. The revelation that God gave him, he has complete faith in that revelation of the interpretation. And he also shares it with honor. You see how Daniel's interacting with the king? There's no sense of disrespect. There's no sense of how could you ask us to do this. It's complete honor. There's a reverence or an honor that I see between Daniel and his interacting with this king who lords over him. Verse 46 says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery.'" So imagine the king, all-powerful king of Babylon, falls on his knees before Daniel and gets low before him because Daniel was able to reveal the mystery. And King Nebuchadnezzar recognizes the power and wisdom of Daniel's God, right? So he's honoring Daniel, but there's also this great recognition of who Daniel's God is. And he says, "Your God is the God of gods," right? They believe in multiple gods in Babylon at this time. "Your God is the God of gods. Your God is the Lord of kings," right? I think it was interesting that Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar in verse 37, he says, "You, Majesty, you are the King of kings." And yet then Nebuchadnezzar says back to Daniel, "Your God is the Lord of kings. Your God is over me," right? Does that make sense? "Your God is the revealer of mysteries." Now, it's not a conversion experience, right? So he didn't say, "I'm going to worship your God only," right? There's none of that, right? But somewhere on that continuum, right? So if recognizing that Jesus is Lord over here and Nebuchadnezzar is way over here, somewhere he's moving closer to having a revelation of who this God of gods really is, right? There's some movement because of what happened through this transaction. God opened a door for Daniel to simply reveal more of the truth about who God is to King Nebuchadnezzar. You get that? And Daniel walks through the open door. And that's one of the challenges I think that we often face. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago and even last week, that often God will open doors for us to influence and to reveal more about who he really is, but we get scared. And so we don't walk through the door. But Daniel risks his life in this process to walk through the door to simply reveal what God gave him that he shared with him. And then we see what all happens, right? That King Nebuchadnezzar is amazed about Daniel's God. And again, I see this as increased favor with man, right? It's something that God's been speaking this year, is that we should expect to have increased favor with God and increased favor with man. And this is one of those examples of he had a greater measure of increased favor with King Nebuchadnezzar because of this process, this terrifying, overwhelming ordeal that Daniel had to go through. The end result was increased favor with the king of the land. Does that make sense? Would Daniel have gone through it if he didn't have to? I don't think so. I wouldn't, right? But because he had to go through it, or because he was invited to go through the open door and he said yes, this is the result. Does that make sense? Verse 48, it says, "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon, placed him in charge of all its wise men. And moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. So King Nebuchadnezzar honors his word. I don't know if you remember, but last week when we read the text, in verse 6, this is what Nebuchadnezzar says to all of the wise men. He says, "But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor." Daniel was able to do that, and what does Daniel get? Gifts and rewards and great honor, right? So the king is faithful to what he says. And Daniel's moved into a position of even greater influence, right? Remember, he's still a slave. He's still a prisoner of war. Like, that hasn't changed. But could you imagine a prisoner of war moving to a place of being the ruler over all of the province of Babylon, right? The place of your captivity? It's unheard of. And yet that's what just happened, right? Daniel receives many gifts. Again, he's the ruler over the entire province of Babylon. He's placed in charge of all the wise men. Everyone, right? We don't know how many there are. But remember, he had to go through that whole contest to be able to get into being in this position. And there's many others, right, that are respected and revered by the king. And now Daniel's the number one guy. He's over all of them. He also just saved all their lives. Right? They should be dead. But God. Right? And then I love this. He gets specific favor for his friends. Even that's bold. "Hey, king, will you look for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Will you give them places of administration power in your kingdom?" Right? He asks that. And the king says, "Sure. It's yours. It's yours." And then the last thing is, then Daniel, he stays in the royal court. He's even closer to the king. Does that make sense? He's right there connected to the king in a significant and powerful way. All right, so what does this have to do for you and me, right? That's the ultimate question. I see three things. There may be more. The first is just a continuation of what we looked at last week, right? So his response all the way through to the end of this interaction, I believe, glorifies God in how he interacts with the king, in how he responds in faith, how he handles that whole navigating what God has shared with him, shares it with confidence and boldness. I think that he glorified God from the start when the knock came on the door to the end when he's put in a position of power and influence. And again, the question for us out of that is, do you want to grow in 2022 in your ability for your first and total response to adverse circumstances to glorify God? Right? Only you can answer that. The second thing I see is this, that he had faith that what he heard from God or saw in the vision was true. He had to have faith. He attached faith to it, and then his faith required him to take action, and it involved risk. There was no other way around it. And his life and the lives of all the wise men in the land were on the line. So it wasn't just a simple thing, right? Oh, should I pray for this person in the mall because I see that they have a boot on their foot, right? At the end of the day, I pray for them. If nothing happens, it doesn't seem like it's the end of the world, right? But in this situation for Daniel, if he got it wrong, right, it's still death for everybody, all the wise men. Make sense? And yet he trusted that what God gave him was right. And so for us, where we can apply it is, do you trust what you hear from God? Right? In John 10:27, it says, Jesus said his sheep know his voice, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, the truth is that you know his voice. You may feel like you don't know his voice, that you're not good at hearing his voice, that you're terrible at hearing his voice. You'll never know his voice, right? We got the whole gamut. But the reality, if you want the truth is you know his voice. You were created to know his voice, and you know it well. It's not supposed to be a hard thing. It's not supposed to be as difficult as we make it. And so really the challenge is, are you willing to take action regarding what you hear? So when you get a revelation or a vision of God saying, go do this or be a part of this or release this, that even when it involves risk for you or for others, you say yes. That makes sense? And then the last thing is that his faith led him into a greater position of influence with even greater responsibility. Now he's the ruler over the entire province. Before, he was just one of the wise men. right? He was just one of many. Now he's the ruler over all of them. And he's in charge of all of the wise men, and he's positioned in the royal court. And so the truth that I see in that is increased favor leads to greater responsibility. Often we're crying out, I want more favor. Send me favor. Give me favor. And then you get the favor, and then you realize, wow, that's a whole lot of responsibility I didn't really want. That's the challenge. And greater influence often leads to even greater influence, right? So now he had one set a measure, and he can have more influence within the kingdom because now he's overseeing so much more. He's the ruler of the whole province of Babylon. He's the leader of all of the wise men, enchanters, magicians. He can set it up however he wants it. Do you think God will have a say in that? I do, based on Daniel's relationship with God. And so are you willing to say yes? Am I willing to say yes to the increased responsibility that comes with the increased favor that God's pouring out in your life? Again, I can't answer that for you. I can say pretty much with confidence that increased responsibility will come with increased favor. It's been my experience. And I don't think you can have one without the other. Some of us are still in the camp that we don't believe God is going to increase our favor. Or some of us, we recognize that increased favor comes with increased favor comes increased responsibility, and we don't want it. So we don't want increased favor. We settle for what we currently have. Those are all things that the Holy Spirit is highlighting, and he's knocking. He's seeking, right? He's pressing, because he knows that for you to have abundant life, it means saying yes to all the things that he's inviting you into, which includes increased favor and increased responsibility. Because as believers, sons and daughters of the living God, we're meant to be the ones who influence the whole land. Even Daniel, who was a captive, a slave, ended up becoming the ruler over the whole province. It's phenomenal to me. Don't you think that we're not slaves, right? We're not captives. And yet God's positioned us in this county for this season of time or wherever else we have influence. It's not a coincidence that he would raise us up into higher positions of influence, greater measures of interacting with others to advance the kingdom of God in the land, to reveal who this God of gods is, right? Do you truly believe that God will fully equip you for every open door that he provides for you? I think that's one of the things that trips us up often, is we recognize that if I go through that door, there's going to be this increased responsibility. I'm not sure God's going to provide for that. But we don't see that with Daniel. He steps right into this great level of authority, and there's a sense that the same God who met me when I was at death's door, who gave me the revelation and the vision of what the dream was, that same God is going to walk with me right here in this new land, right? This new level of responsibility. I can count on it because God's that good. Why would he bring you into a place of greater favor and greater responsibility just to back away and say, all right, you're on your own now. Good luck. It's not what he does, right? He's a good father. He will always equip us fully for whatever we're facing. That's my experience too. Will you say yes to walk through the doors he is opening for you this year? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the truths that can be found in looking at this portion of Scripture and the life of Daniel. And we celebrate that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That you are the God of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the revealer of mysteries. You're the God who comes through when everything looks hopeless. It's who you are. And you're good at being who you are. And you're also a God of intimacy. You're a God that leads us into deeper relationship with you as we grow in trust and as you continue to open new opportunities for us to influence the spheres around us, right? Wherever we find ourselves, that as you continue to release favor and opportunities and doors that are open, that you will meet us as we go through those doors. You will equip us with the responsibility and the ability to handle any new responsibility that we face. It's what you do. You're that good. And so I pray, Jesus, for every hearer of my voice, whether it's in person today or whether it's on the podcast, that there would be a grace to say yes to you in a new and fresh way here in 2022. I pray that you would reveal afresh again for your sons and daughters that they were created to hear your voice and they hear it well. And that we would have an increase of our faith as we step out and take risks on behalf of you. I pray that we wouldn't settle for the comfortable. We wouldn't settle and be complacent, that this is as good as it gets. But what I see with you as you interact with each one of the individuals through the Bible is that it seems like there's always more. There's always something new. There's something bigger to reveal your glory in the land. And so I pray that for each person here and on the podcast, there's a significant role that you play in that process. You're not just an extra on the set. You're actually the star in the show. And I pray that we would get that. And we would say yes to it. We would embrace what you're doing in our lives and the ways that you're working and guiding us. We would get rid of anything that hinders us from being locked on to you. And that we would abide in you and we would allow the fruit that gets produced that flows through us, right? We don't even have a process in it or a part of the process. We just stay connected to you and fruit happens both in us and through us. I pray that that would be for your glory. And that truly at the end of 22, we could say that we live sold out to glorify God as a people of God. We live sold out to glorify God every part of our lives, every choice, every response, every way that we navigate through things of circumstances of life, whatever's going on, our goal in life is to glorify God and to reveal him here on earth as he is in heaven. And so we ask that you would bless this word, that you would seal it. You would bring about the transformation in our lives that would bring this to pass. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.